The Business on RT Radio 1 with Ulster Bank. For when you're keen to know what Brexit means for your business, visit ulsterbank.ie/Brexit.
Now, staying with technology, many of us are bombarded with work-related emails and messages appearing on our phones at all hours. This week, the Financial Services Union called for a right to disconnect piece of legislation to be put in place. But is it a practical solution? We're joined now by a future of work expert, Peter Cosgrove. He's a firm believer that the whole family should be unplugged from devices, and he's just published a book called Family Fun Unplugged, and we'll get to that later, Peter. But first, this idea of a right to disconnect, I'd imagine you're a fan of that, are you?
Surprisingly not. I'm a right to disconnect between the employer and the employee, but not from a legislative point of view.
Why not?
I think it's too big a deal. I think we need to, what people will start talking about nanny states here. The reality is, if an employer is making an employee work all the time, you can walk with your feet. You can actually talk about that company. You now have so many tools at your exposure that your employer brand will be affected. People won't join your organization. That's the first thing. The second thing is it just doesn't really work, because actually most employees want to look at their phone, and nobody, they won't even admit this. I know so many people go away and they're told, don't check their email. And they go, oh, I better check in.
But there's wanting and feeling you have to.
Yeah. But the thing from the organization point of view is, if I've told everybody, if you say to your employer, I have a landline, just let's say you have a landline, and you can call me 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, if there's ever a problem. All right, that's accessibility. Do you know how many calls you get? None. No one will call you. So the reality is, the email's not urgent, but you look at it. So as I said, if you're swimming, if you're coaching GAA, if you're out and about, you won't be checking it. So there is some companies that will literally give out you and haul you over the coals because you didn't check an email at night, but there's a very few of them. And that is much more to me of an employer-employee issue, not a legislation thing, because those employers will not survive.
But the personality of managers and the culture of the organisation comes in. So for example, if a manager sends an email late at night and the person doesn't get back to it, they say, right. Many jobs now are results driven. So therefore, when that, rather than say, you didn't get back to my midnight email, they wait until perhaps a particular project is a bit delayed, and then they're in trouble.
Yeah, look, there are those managers, but I also say, you say to anyone, oh, by the way, I'm often out doing charity work, or I'm out with kids, so I may not check my email, but you can call me at any time. So you give them the ability to call you, and then you've put it back on them, and then the manager goes, I don't really want to call them because I really wanted to send them the sneak email. If it's one of those type of managers, you're giving them every right to contact you, but just not by email, as in you won't be checking it because you're out and about. And suddenly, so I really think employees need to think about how they change the dynamic. You will always have those employers, but I don't think legislation is the way to do it. One, too difficult, and two, I think it's just too much for organisations to take.
Given that technology is becoming an ever greater part of the workplace and the future of work, surely our kids should be on technology, not quite as early as possible, but pretty early, because they're going to have to deal with it in the workplace.
Well, see, I think technology, we kind of have the wrong view of it. Yeah, you're on your phone, you're on iPad, you're on technology all the time, but that's just, it's almost not technology to them. It's just something they use as a device. Just like a smart fridge will be a technology fridge, we'll just see it as a fridge. Everything will be connected. I think the difference is the key skills of the future for these kids are going to be, yes, using technology, because everything's going to have technology in it, but actually it's still going to be the key skills about influencing, persuading, creativity, using your imagination, because robots will take every job it can because they're cheaper than humans in the long term, and actually anything that's automated, process-driven will be taken.
And you're of the view that in order to cultivate those skills, we have to go a little bit back to a simpler past or simpler times, and the way in which people, as kids, pre-technology, amused themselves and came up with different things to do.
Well, look, the idea for the book was really just to give you the idea that lots of people are addicted to their phones, and I think it starts with the parents. Parents are addicted, they know they are, they don't like to admit it, and every moment we're bored, we're just a little bit sitting there waiting for something to happen, the first thing we do is we click on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, whatever your kind of crack cocaine fix. Everyone has something. And the point is, people say, oh, but just put your phone away. But people can't do it because their phone is, oh, no, no, I need my phone for everything else. So we then see the kids mirroring the parents, and therefore everybody's sitting in a restaurant, nobody's talking, and actually all these things in the book are around games, which actually are all about the future of work, because actually gamification, using ways to make people enjoy what they do, is really, really important.
But are you saying we should all go back to playing cards and Conkers and Snakes and Ladders?
Well, I certainly think if we had a time at the dinner table where you had 20 minutes where people were sitting down and not everybody on their phone, but having a shared activity. You know, I think screens are great if you share them. When you do something on a screen as a group, you've great fun and it's great and social.
Do we not look back, though, a bit with rose-tinted glasses on a lot of that stuff? And the reality is that those things that we were doing, which appeared kind of simple and good, clean form, we did them because there was nothing else to do. We were bored out of our minds. I have young kids and I remember saying, oh, I'll show them how to play Conkers. One of them nearly took the eye out of his head after about 2 minutes and it was over. I remember neighbours of ours at home at one stage used to have a sow rodeo out among the pig's muck and see who could last the longest on a pig's back.
No, absolutely. But the book is more about puzzles, brain teasers, conversational games that people will play around the table, and where the kid will often be the smartest person in the room. So it teaches them to everything, to tell a joke, to tell a story, to challenge people. And I think kids actually love that more than anything. They really, the thing they find most fun. And while I know technology is important, actually the way people use it, you know, if you give it to a 12-year-old, as someone said, it's like sending them into New York. There's some amazing things in New York, but God almighty, there's some streets you would never want them to go down. The moment you give them the phone, most parents say to me, oh, I'm a bit of a technophobe, I don't really understand this stuff. You've got to understand it. You've just given your kid access to the world and they're age 9. And if you think you've got it sorted, well, they'll just go to the household, which we all did, where there was less parental controls, and they will find it there.
Do you think boredom is something that kids have to learn to live with? Do you think it's actually a good thing?
Yeah, I would say in schools, you know, I kind of, it relates to it in the book, but you really, I think philosophy for senior schools, because they should actually learn how to think, and that comes into a lot of your early conversation around Brexit, where people aren't actually thinking about the problem. But I think in primary school, rather than teaching them coding, put them in a class for 40 minutes and they aren't able to do anything. Let them just let their minds wander, because they aren't doing that. And all great innovation often comes just before being a little bit bored or
letting
your mind
wander.
They'll
end up killing each other, probably. Mm-hmm. But while the kid's off doing the coding, we'll get all the jobs.
No, I'm telling you, if you look at it, ask anybody where they get their best ideas, they will all say driving, lying down, in the shower. No one ever says at work. They need time to actually disconnect, and that's where the great ideas happen.
Well, thank you very much, Peter Cosgrove, for joining us. The book is called Family Fun Unplugged, and it is packed with lots of family games to keep everyone away from their devices. So maybe it is time to take a step back and look at the bigger picture.